We're going to be in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. I happen to have them up on the slide here. We'll be going through verse by verse. This is in the English Standard Version. But before we get into God's Word together, let me again pray. Heavenly Father, as I often say, I pray that you would get me out of this position. We want to hear your voice from your Word. We want to hear your truth and be able to apply it in our lives to bring you glory. We want you to be glorified in this place as we know that you are. Remove distractions from us, open our minds and hearts to receive from your Word, and also in such a way that we will be anxious to apply it to our life. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Matthew 19:14 says, "But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God." And in chapter 10 and verse 2, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." If you've paid attention to the slides before the church service starts, this is up there. When I kind of jokingly said that we're going to start at 10:02 because we could never get everybody corralled into their seat by 10 o'clock, another pastor asked me, "Are you going off of Luke 10:2? And I said, "No, I should have, and I'm going to borrow that from you." So here is where that sits. I want to give you a report that I came across. Although the numbers vary from part to part, report to report, the war that's currently being fought in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine has produced a lot of tragic deaths. Many of these deaths are non-combatants, women and children. On June 3rd of this year, it was reported that 35,000 had died in the Gaza Strip area. This includes a confirmed 7,797 innocent children, 4,900 women, 1,900 elderly. In another report that I saw on YouTube, it was on June 1st, International Children's Day, and about 15,000 names were read off in front of the capital, the German capital of Berlin. The war in Ukraine, 600 kids so far, ballpark, has been killed, according to UNICEF. And when we think of the Holocaust, that terrible event where the German Nazis killed 6 million Jews, we don't know how many children were in there. This report had mentioned that over the last 100 years, America has killed 50 million babies because of abortion. So let me give you a warning. The following is a duh statement, okay? Children matter to God. Amen? Amen. You might have been somebody as a child that you heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and you were afforded an opportunity to grow up in the church with a faith. Maybe you were born into a Christian family. Others might be like myself, not growing up in a Christian family. But if it not be for the good news of Jesus Christ, you and I would not be here. If it's not for the good news of Jesus Christ, you and I would not be celebrating for eternity the gift, the wonderful gift that Jesus has given us with salvation through his blood shed on the cross at Calvary. This last school year, the Norway Vulcan Elementary School had enrolled about 276 kids. And when I would love for us to reach out and be able to connect with even 10% of those kids, to get them into an environment that we can bring them into church activities, maybe even then by extension have the families come as well. Trish, I'm sure you've seen this in your ministry. I know Gail and I have when we would do the Gospel Illusion programs, reports from pastors after we would perform an evangelism show, that this child came to the Lord, brought their sister, mom and dad came, they were saved, aunts and uncles, etc. It was just an explosion of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it didn't happen that way all the time, but it did happen. So I would say, after saying that so far, today's focus, if you haven't already figured it out, as I shared earlier, it's on the call for us to reach kids for Christ. The emphasis is on the call to reach both our generation, yes, friends that we have of our own age, but also that we come together as a church and boldly declare a commitment to reaching kids for Christ. Profound statement, I think, is echoed throughout Scripture, is the statement, actually in question form, will you go? Somebody said, here I am, send me. And today, perhaps more than any other Sunday, if I could say it that way, let's approach God's word with the idea that God is talking to you and to me directly. I want us to hear God's voice and let that pierce your soul, pierce your heart. And that doesn't mean that everybody here is going to volunteer to be involved in kids ministry. I get that. But I want you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you on what you might be able to do to get involved with the next steps that this church needs to go through in the revitalization process. We need to be reminded of the call that is placed on our life by the Great Commission, that we are to, according to a verse we just read a moment ago, deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26, we're going to focus there. We're going to touch on Matthew 28, a very familiar text. But Luke 14, 23 says, and the master said to the servant, go out and to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be full. If you happen to be taking notes or if you've got your outline in the bulletin, the first point would be the call to follow Christ. And that's a call that's placed on all of our lives. And we're all responding to the call of Christ. Amen? We are all here because of the call of Christ on our life. So as we look at verses 23 and 24, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself. In verse 23. Now, Jesus is here in Caesarea Philippi, and he's preaching to his disciples and to the crowds that were present, that followed him. To deny oneself is to repudiate, it's to disown or forsake yourself. And the word in the Greek is a verb, it's an aorist, it's imperative. And what that means is that as an aorist tense, means that it's something that happened at one point in time that has ongoing consequences. It is a Kodak moment, a snapshot, if you will, not a movie. So when Jesus said this, if you would deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, that is a statement that he made in that point that has ongoing implications. It's also an imperative. That's a command. I say those things often. Jesus said it. We can't dispute it. No questions asked. It's a command made by Jesus Christ himself. If you would follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily. It's also in the middle voice, which means that it was something that is performed upon oneself or out of self-interest. Jesus, when he said those words, was casting upon them the thought that this is a command. As James is writing these words, this is a command. Now, you know me, I never want to reduce Christianity to a list of do's and don'ts. That's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as volunteers in children's ministries, we're called to follow Christ wholeheartedly. And just as Jesus prioritized reaching kids, we too should prioritize that as well. Now, this is nothing new to you. I get that. Luke 9, verse 24, really kind of reminds us a little bit about volunteering in children's ministries. It's not so much a one-time commitment. If that's all you could do, then fine. But it's an ongoing commitment to be involved with reaching the next generation. Churches such as ours throughout the United States, I'll say, are filled with 70-somethings. And how, as I talked with other pastors in years past, how can you reach the next generation for Jesus? And it takes the group within the building to be excited about reaching the people outside of the building. And it's a scary endeavor. It gets us out of our comfort zone. It's something that we don't want to do ourselves. But it's when we're walking in God's will that we have the most joy in life. I remember times personally where I would be prompted by the Spirit to go share Christ with somebody, and I didn't want to do it, and I would do it reluctantly. But I obeyed. And by the time the conversation was over, I'm flying on cloud nine, just excited about the opportunity to share His love. I'm guilty of not doing it as much as I should. I admit that before everybody. God already knows. So to deny ourselves is under the call to follow Christ. The second point is to fulfill His great commission. Matthew 28, I'm sure most of us could recite it by memory, says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The command that we see in those words is to make disciples. And we see it also in Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. It says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will then be ashamed of them when he comes into his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." So even though we don't see the word disciple, we know that that word is present, the idea of being a disciple. Now, that by definition is to be a student of, to be a follower of, to be a disciple. It is in the verb aorist active imperative. Really what that means is that it happened at some point in the past. It has ongoing implications. It's an imperative command to us, and it's something that is active. In other words, at any given point in time, it holds true. It's not something that the early church was commanded to do, and then after all the apostles died, it died down. It's an ongoing commitment that churches should have as the central focus in their ministries. The word emphasizes the process of learning and becoming a student. It deals with discipline and instruction. Our service in children's ministries would have the power to impact Norway for Christ. Now, it's been probably going on close to 2 years now that I stood in the pulpit sharing with you before Warren got sick. And I said that it is my dream to be a part of a church that, like ours, is kind of small, not really well known in a smaller community, in a smaller type of environment like the UP. We're not downtown Chicago, nothing like that. But that God would show up and show off in such a way that people throughout the world would be saying, "Wow, what is God doing in that little church in that little town called Norway?" Now, that's a lofty dream, isn't it? I get that. But it excites me that we would follow Jesus' example of love, compassion, humility, and that we would engage in such activities as sharing Christ with others. That brings us to the third point, impacting for eternity. The call to impact in eternity. And if you don't know exactly what it means to impact for eternity, really what that is you, when you deny yourself, you're getting your eyes and your heart off of your own desires, and you're saying, Jesus, you died for me, so now I need to live for you. Where we cast away the cares of this world, as much as we're physically and able to do so, and say, I am going to live my life for you. That's what it means to deny. That's what it means to have an internal eternity in mind as we look together and work together. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 9 says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self or their own soul? Even if the only thing you're able to do is pray. In our almost theme verse of Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, to pray for those to work in the harvest. I wouldn't say just pray, but I would say make it a permanent focus in your prayer life, if you would. It's a statement made by Christ to his disciples and by extension to us. It's a valid reason that we should come before the Lord together as a family of believers. That we would pray that God would bring families into our home, that he would bring into our church home, that he would bring workers into our presence, that he would allow us to see the fruits of labor being done and to see this place explode. It's not about the numbers, but I think it is about the excitement of when we see God work in our midst. Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 25, and chapter 10, verse 2, tell us that we should live with a focus on eternity, really having nothing of of earthly value, realizing that none of it will last. You could drive home in your vehicle, you can go into your house and look around, and none of it is going to be yours in another 20, 30, 50 years. We have things on loan. It's going to go to somebody else when we pass on. But I could poetically say the only thing that we can bring with us to heaven, obviously not the U-Haul, is other believers. Now, we bring to God our sinful life. We can only say, God, please forgive me. God does all the work. We are not to try to go out and save somebody. Only God can save others. But wouldn't it be nice to, when you get before God the Father in heaven, and all of a sudden you see a drove of people that are coming behind you, and God says to you, well done, O good and faithful servant. Look to see what we've been able to do through your obedience. And even your obedience is from God. For in our carnal nature, we don't want to. In my carnal nature, I don't want to. But in Matthew 25, as we kind of bring this to conclusion, as we reflect on a couple of the scriptures that we discussed today, Matthew 25 and verse 40 says, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So the question on display here is, will you go? Will you respond? The call to discipleship is a call to wholehearted devotion, self-denial, and obedience to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to serve throughout the years in our life in various volunteer positions and in ministries, reaching kids, reaching teens, even reaching adults for Christ. They're all important. I pray that you would strengthen us with your wisdom. Give us your compassion as we launch this important work. And whether it's Awana or some other program that's yet to be firmly decided, but I just pray that our hearts would be filled with love for these little ones around us, entrusted either to our care or those that we come across in our neighborhoods or through our children. And may our efforts bear fruit that glorifies your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.